or contact Rebecca at 262-636-9229. From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, linking employers and nonprofits with people in need of either jobs or resources is the aim of the third annual Success Fair to be held Friday, June 13th at the Kenosha County Job Center. Interested employers and nonprofits can register at KenoshaUnitedWay.org.
This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that focuses on the concerns in the Tri-County area. It's hosted by Jane Herring, Marcia Connett, Joan Rory, and Ron Purty. Community Matters also shares its time slot with the 32-time award-winning WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's host.
Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to this Saturday's Community Matters. My name is Joan Rory. I'm your host, and I come to you about once a month with mostly guests that I've known in and of the community, and I'm really excited to introduce you to some people in our community today, because this particular homegrown effort that we're about to learn about is globally reaching, and the little podcast that could, I guess we might want to call it, a really cool project that I've been very lucky to be a part of. And it, when I'm asked to describe Mansfield Mysteries and the Quarantine Productions, I say right now it kind of feels like an old-time soap opera, a radio soap opera. But the reason I say homegrown is because the two gentlemen that I have on the show today, both are coming to us from Racine. It's Nick Hoyt and Paul Reese, and they are co-founding producers of Quarantine Productions. And that's a mouthful. I've already started with enough talking, so what I'd like to do is ask you, Nick, give us the elevator pitch for Quarantine Productions. What is it?
Well, Quarantine Productions is a, like you said, a very homegrown business that we kind of came up with by accident. We weren't really looking to do anything in the podcasting world, but a friend of mine who worked for AARP Wisconsin reached out to me during the pandemic, and she knew that I was an actor because I was a member and have been a member of the Overhead Players in Sixth Street Theater with Joan. That's how we met. And
I'm sorry, for the younger people in our audience, Nick, what's AARP?
AARP?
It's for retired people.
It is. Anyone over the age of 55 can join now.
The Association of Retired People or something like that.
You're much better than I am.
But the demographics are a little different.
Yeah. But my friend Amber reached out to me and asked me if I would be interested in doing a radio show for them because the pandemic was happening and they wanted to do something for their audiences in the state of Wisconsin. And I said, yeah, of course. And I hung up the phone and then I realized I have no idea how to do this. So luckily, Paul here is an IT wizard and that's what he does for a living. And so I reached out to him and I said, we have to figure out how to do this because I just told them that we're going to make this show and they're going to pay us a nice amount of money during the pandemic. And so we got to, you know, put this together. We found an old radio show and that was the first one we did and it went off well. So they reached out to us a second time and said, can you do two more in 2021, one in the spring and one in the fall? And we said, sure. And then that's where Quarantine Productions came from. We realized we had to find two more shows. And so that sort of leads into how Mansfield Mysteries came to be.
Well, if you ever need a job done, you ask a theater kid. We all know that.
Yep. If we can't do it, you show us, and we'll pretend like we've done it for 10 years.
Just act through it.
Yep.
Right. We can wing it. Or yep. we hope with other supportive people on stage or off stage to wing it. Anyway, yes. So Quarantine Productions grew as the result of some old-time radio-type performances for art. Now, what were those next two shows? And that's a lead-in as to more homegrown talent in this community.
Yes. And so, luckily, doing theater at Sixth Street Theater, I knew the actor Amy Hansen, who is also a playwright, an amazing playwright, as well as her husband, Michael Johnson, who is also a playwright, and he writes a lot of 10-minute comedies. And so that's what happened at our theater. We did one of his shows, and he and I became friends. And so when it came time to write these two new shows, I was like, I don't know if I should do this. So I reached out to Mike and Amy and asked them if they wanted to join up and work on this project. And they said, sure. You know, it was during the pandemic. And so they're both teachers, but they were at home a lot. So they got to work on it. And the first show that we did was one called When We Get to the Tetons. And that show was created because I said, I want to do something fun and sweet. I want to do something maybe like, think of like a romantic dramedy, something that you would imagine like Diane Keaton starring in. And then they came up with When We Get to the Tetons, and it was awesome.
It was a darling script. A Nancy Meyers House kind of script is what
Yes. It was so good, and I wish we actually, because of AARP, we had to cut down on time, so we had to cut out a lot of the script that they had written. I would love to redo that again.
Oh, yeah. That was fun.
Yeah, and then in the fall, we got to do another Halloween show, and then that's how Mansfield Mysteries came to be, because they wrote 5 or 6 different single-sentence plot lines. And we got to choose whichever one we wanted them to write. And they said, a mother and daughter duo are solving a murder at a tennis club. And we were like, let's do that. That sounds like it would be really fun auditory, you know, like with the tennis balls and the big crowds and all these different things. And so they came to us with this script, and we fell in love with it, and I could not get it out of my head, and I kept talking to Paul about it, and he was thinking about it all the time, and I said, this is a series, this is a show, I don't want this to end, I want these characters to continue to live on. And so we wrangled Mike and Amy and took them out to dinner one night and pitched the idea to them, and they said, all right, we're in for a year, we'll do this, you know, yeah, it sounds fun. And they did it, and they had a lot of fun, and they wanted to do another season.
And we did that meeting before we even started rehearsals on the initial
the AARP show,
because
yeah.
We just loved it so much, we were like, this has to continue.
Yeah, we did it in August of 2021, and we didn't record until September, I think, of 2021.
Right. Well, my timing is so subjective now. It either happened before COVID or after COVID.
Yes, yes.
It does somewhat seem like a lifetime ago. Now, are those productions available online anymore? Or
no, they were just a sort of one and done with AARP. They purchased the recording, so they.
So the birth of Mansfield Mysteries. So I think before we even dive into that subject, the first thing I want to do is let you give a shout out to a community partner that you'd like to mention at the top of the broadcast, and I dropped the ball already.
No, that's okay. We wanted to give a shout out and say that this season, the third season of Mansfield Mysteries that we are working on right now, that will be coming out later this year, is supported in part by a grant from the Racine Arts Council's ArtSeed program. Grants programs funded by Racine Arts Council and the Wisconsin Arts Boards, which fund the state of Wisconsin, gave us this amazing opportunity in the form of money that we could then use to create this third season. And we have gotten so much support from them. And just a shout out to Diane Carlson.
Yep.
Diane Carlson. She has been such a champion for us and such a great part of the Racine Arts Council. And we're very grateful to everyone there, and all of the people we've gotten to meet now through that as well. So it's been nothing but positives for us. So
and the experiences. So all of that being said, let's take a minute, because we have a trailer for the series. And we'll take 1 minute and we'll take a listen to the trailer. Any lead into it?
It's just that it is a very campy and over-the-top trailer of the Cozy Murder Mystery series, Mansfield Mysteries, because you're going to hear something that sounds like my voice, but
it's not.
But it's not the way I talk.
All right. Let's take a listen to the trailer for the Mansfield Mysteries.
You're invited to the most exclusive event in Berkshire Bay.
Same old recycled guest list.
Which may include the occasional murder suspect.
Murder?
There's never been a murder in Berkshire Bay.
Enter our martini-loving socialite.
I'm Dorinda Mansfield, and this is my daughter, Stacy.
Instead of mingling with her peers, Dorinda would much rather investigate their scandalous crimes.
If I've learned anything in the last year, it's that desperate people resort to desperate measures.
Something horrific has happened! I think she's dead!
Oh my God, he's dead!
Oh my God!
She's been stabbed! In the back!
One of us is the killer. It wasn't me!
When mysterious deaths are afoot in Berkshire Bay, the Mansfields are on the case.
We have become known for our amateur detective work.
This was a homicide. I'm sure of it.
Enter the world of Mansfield Mysteries, where martinis, motives, and murders isn't just a tagline. It's a lifestyle.
All right, well, you are right. Campy is correct. Campy, talk to me about that. So who's writing those things? You know, who's... Are the four of you still collaborating? But that's fine. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, the trailers, actually, we just kind of come up with the trailers ourselves. We find, you know, fun dialogue and fun little lines and I don't know, just cute moments that sometimes aren't even scripted, and they just work out so well. And it's actually, that's part of the fun, is once it's all done and we're putting everything together to kind of create a whole new script from those three episodes to make the trailer. So I really enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. The logistics of this, from an IT perspective, from a spreadsheet perspective, some of these productions have had large numbers of casts. So granted, some of these cast members might be acting with multiple voices, but the fact is, it's a large number of voice actors. There's a lot of equipment involved. There's a lot of scheduling involved. How do you make it all happen? I mean, what's your biggest challenge with putting one production together?
Well, it starts with the schedule. Yeah. It really does. First, just the rehearsal schedule. I think anyone who's ever worked with a group that, even if we do say we're going to pay, there's a possibility we couldn't pay in the past. And so it was on a volunteer basis. So anyone who's worked with scheduling volunteers, you know that you have to, you know, there's a lot more concessions that need to be made. Right. And so everyone has different things going on at different times and due to their jobs. And so to make it work, we really have to kind of expedite the process. And I think that's why it's so wonderful, the cast that we have are theater actors, so they understand how to tell a story from beginning to end, and they know they can jump, and you know that they can jump in at any point, and they'll be able to be in the scene, in the emotion they're supposed to be in the character phase they're supposed to be in there. And so it's really nice to be able to work with the theater actors and to be able to do that. So
a little bit of
it doesn't take a lot of rehearsal.
A little bit of a blessing and a curse with people, because we all know that, we have some cream of the crop theater talent, part of Mansfield Mysteries, and they're also in other shows. And, you know, it's been kind of fun to, we have rehearsal tonight for this or that, but nope, I've got rehearsal for Mansfield. But it's amazing how any director pulls a show together, because hurting actors is harder than hurting cats.
Yeah.
Logistically.
You mentioned the spreadsheets, and Nick is definitely the king of spreadsheets with those schedules and recording schedule, getting, you know, the scenes recorded in the right order with the right actors who are there on that day. You know, he keeps all that.
That's my ADHD kicking into high gear. So it's just like, that's the only thing I can do is, like, it's got to be orderly. I can get that into order. So making that schedule is fun.
And that works for us, too.
Yeah.
talk a little bit about the glamour in the recording sessions. I think, you know, when you look at videos of Disney voiceover actors, they're in this beautiful state-of-the-art studio. You know, Hugh Jackman is holding his ear, and it's very dramatic. Where are these actors recording, and how does that work logistically?
Yeah, there's big 6.5, 7-foot-tall wooden tea stands that my dad built years ago in the garage. And they're on the backside, they're covered with a blanket. And then a microphone is set up on a stand with a mic shield around it. And then there is a huge sheet hanging over them.
And our location is in the writers, Mike and Amy's basement.
Yes.
You know, we have different rooms set off, you know, down there. It's refurnished, but we do have to put somebody in the laundry room, and we do have to put somebody in the boiler room.
So
it gets a little hot in there.
Oh, yeah.
It's not quite Disney glamour.
Oh, how we suffer for our parts.
Yes.
I can personally attest to being in the boiler room and the laundry room. So anyway.
Yeah. You tell the actors, are you allergic to cats? Take a Benadryl.
Yeah. Let's take an opportunity to listen to another clip that you provided, and I would like you to give us a little lead in this. I always love saying things on shows like that number again, or how about you lead us into the next clip we're going to see. So that's what I'm going to do. How about you lead us into clip number 2 from Art of Murder? What are we going to do?
This is a clip that features the artist Jan Yule, who has been unknowingly lured into one of the infamous Dorinda Mansfield interrogations during a huge art gallery opening, and a murder has just occurred, but people don't realize it yet.
All right, from The Art of Murder.
What is this tableau? Caricatures of famous old women?
Look at this.
I thought I was here to sign papers.
First, we have a few questions for you.
Who is this? This Justice Ginsburg impression of?
I am Dorinda Mansfield. You know Joy Wakefield, of course. And this is Alice Breckenridge, my daughter Stacy.
Are we having a tea party? There's no need for introductions. I am here to sign tax form, or 2 or 3 of them.
Mansfield Mysteries.
All right, I'm hearing some familiar voices. Who am I hearing in here? Talk to me a little bit about some of the actors that you've recruited.
Well, we have recruited for the role of Dorinda Mansfield, one of the two lead actresses, the mother of the duo, the more nosy of the duo, is played by Melissa Hughes Ernest, who people may see at Sixth Street Theater as well. She was most recently Annie Wilkes in Misery.
Boy.
And she was fun. If you saw that and you heard our show, you wouldn't believe it's the same person. I'll say that.
I thought if you're lucky enough to act with Melissa, you're lucky enough.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And I've had the opportunity, and I'm so great. Actually, my first opportunity to work with the gentleman who played Jan Yule in that clip, Doug Despin, who's another amazing actor, and I love him to pieces. He's wonderful. He actually was casting a show, and he cast Melissa, and he was saying, who should I get to play your husband? And she had never worked with me, but her husband Cody had, and so she wanted to. So she said, why don't you call up Nick Hoyt? That's how I got the part.
Right.
So I'm very grateful to her.
That's a good point about actors like Doug. You're going to hear many different, many of the same actor using different voices. And I think, honestly, when you think about that, I've basically become just breathless listening to somebody like Tina, who will have stacked sentences as two different characters. It's mind-blowing to really be part of something with the caliber of people, but it's very fun to listen to and, you know, be challenged by the writers, etc.
Yes, especially because they give you some pretty quirky accents to do, and some harsh, you know, kind of characters sometimes too. So it's that I think that speaks to the caliber of actor as well, is that sometimes the dialogue could be you know, a little pointed, but to have actors that understand comedy and understand timing makes it so much easier, you know, and the fact that they can do that, it translates so well in audio format to understand that they're joking or they're being sarcastic or whatnot. Even something as simple as moving, you know, right. You guys work with your breath and you move your body under the blanket, you know, under the sheets when you're recording and you're doing all that stuff. And it's just, it adds so much.
Yeah. She'll probably kill me for saying this, but I love watching on recording days, Mel, when she's recording, you can see her feet moving. You can tell she's like acting full on underneath that curtain there. Yeah. It's amazing.
So it is glamorous.
Yes. I think the covering, though, does free the actors up to be sillier than they would be if we were watching them through a glass window or something.
Do you really think that? The people that would really...
Yeah, no, probably not. They're theater actors.
I'm just going to take a really quick break here to remind listeners, or if you just tuned in, that this is Joan Rory, and I am your host today of Community Matters. And I am so lucky to have with me Nick Hoyt and Paul Reese, and they are from Quarantine Productions. And we're talking about, if you were lucky enough to hear the first part, I want to go back to a reference you made, Nick, about Murder, She Wrote, because it is kind of like that. But I think I've heard you say it's like Murder, She Wrote meets Golden Girls meets there's some kind of morph that you put together. So it's indescribable, and yet it's a hodgepodge of a lot of different fun and memorable. It'll feel familiar.
It is. It's a nice throwback to a lot of the cozy mysteries in the and sitcoms of the 80s specifically. That's a huge reference point for me, is like Golden Girls, Designing Women, the shows that had the strong female leads. All of those shows, that even like the Murphy Browns, the shows that were ahead of their time, but always knew how to also get in a really good dig.
Yeah.
And that's what this show kind of is, you know.
Over the years, the filter has become more thin and thin and thin. HBO pushed that boundaries when it first started, so let's give them kudos. Okay, I keep hearing things about technology, about microphones, about so there's a cost to this. Community theater usually means it's volunteers. Can you tell us the kinds of investments that needed to be made, how were costs covered, and I know that you gave a shout out and a thank you to the Racine Arts Council, the ArtSeed grant program. We're also part of a crowdfunded effort. Maybe you can take a moment to address how some of this gets paid for.
To start out, you know, the first season was very volunteer basis. You know, we didn't make any money that season. It was just sort of like, we're going to do this and, you know, see what happens. And it did well, so we decided to do a second season, and we tried crowdfunding, which actually went really well. We got a lot of money. Not a lot of money, I shouldn't say that, but we got money. And we also started like a Ko-fi account, which is something that is always kind of up, where you can just go and contribute whenever you want. So we started that, and then we did it again, crowdfunding this season, along with the ArtSeed grant.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where, you know, we started to make money. We pay ourselves a little bit, pay the writers a little bit, pay the actors a little bit. A lot of the equipment, you know, we had to purchase kind of out of pocket, you know, the first season. So that was sort of our contribution.
Yeah, we used most of the AARP money.
Yes.
That we got for that. And then when the second season came, I think we raised about $3,500 for the second season. And then I also came into a little bit of money, so I added another $2,000 to that. So we were able to pay. We could get new microphones. Initially, that was the hardest part. We got microphones and stands and shields that go behind that dampen the sound and...
The mixer,
you know, that all the mics, and then all the cords for all the mics, sure. And then headphones and extensions, and then inevitably things will break and stop working, and then you have to replace them. And
sure.
So, yeah, there's a lot of upkeep costs, surprisingly, for it.
Yeah, but, so if we have any very generous listeners right now, what would be the best way for someone to monetarily support this program? You're definitely going to want to take a listen, but I know that once you listen, you're going to want to support. So why don't you share with us where listeners can go to pledge some money?
You can go to ko-fi.com/Mansfield Mysteries, and that, to be spelled out, is ko-fi.com/ MansfieldMysteries.
And we also have a webpage. It's just mansfieldmysteriespod.com, and okay. You can find a link to the Ko-fi link there as well.
As well as to other places to listen, other podcatchers, whether you listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Audible.
We give a little history of where we came from, too, on the webpage. So if you're interested in, you know, checking us out, mansfieldmysteriespod.com is a great place to go.
Perfect segue into the next question is, where can people listen to this? You said Apple.
We are anywhere you can get podcasts.
Okay.
Apple Podcasts, we're on Spotify, we're on Audible, we're on Amazon Music.
Yeah, we're a Podchaser, Podcast Addict. You can literally type in Mansfield Mysteries Podcast on Google, and we're like the first 10, 15 things that'll pop up for you.
Okay.
You can even ask your Echo device to play Mansfield Mysteries, and yeah. She will.
Right on. We've made it so easy for everyone. That being said, let's listen to a little bit more. And then I'll give you a moment to kind of think about, because I know it's always fun to hear where the podcast is being consumed. So we'll talk a little bit about that, but let's go into the next clip. And this one is from Fortune Says Murder. Who would like to give us a little lead-in?
I will.
All right.
Again, it features Gerinda Mansfield, and she's investigating a murder, this time at an exclusive luncheon with a celebrity psychic. And so when a murder occurs, she is determined to catch the killer, and she'll use any means necessary. And as you'll hear in this clip, that includes the help of Mother Anushka's tarot cards, who is played by the wonderful Tina Poxalis we were just talking about a moment ago.
Right. Okay. From Fortune Says Murder.
Good question in mind, yes?
Yes.
Okay. See first card. This represents you, questioner.
What is it?
It's hermit.
I'm no hermit. I'm a widow.
Hermit means search for truth or inner guidance.
That's more like it.
And you are crossed by problem. Is two of wands. Usually means planning or making decisions, but is reversed. See? This means bad planning.
My bad planning?
We will see.
Mansfield Mysteries.
Okay, that's fun.
Yeah, her accents, man, her voices. Tina can, she just does a million different things. Like you said before, she's a couple of times she's had to have conversations with herself.
I know.
It's crazy, but I love she does it. Even in rehearsals, she'll switch the voices back and forth when she's doing it. And I'm like, you don't have to. We know you can do it. But
or like something Tina might say is, well, I was listening to the Southern Australian accent, and it was a little bit easier. And I'm like, Tina, man, you know, they asked me to do Icelandic, it sounds Irish, 90%. You know, but I'm funny and people like me. That's why they keep asking me back sometimes. But no, Tina nails it. And again, it is really fun to watch
yeah.
These people. Talk about a few more actors that are part of this. I know you said Tina, Mel, Dorinda has a daughter. And then I want to talk about the the martini thing, the martini theme, and then let's talk about where we're listened to.
Yes. So the actors, there is a huge list of actors. We have 28 actors, actually, for all three seasons, even though the third season isn't out yet. You know, we got it all pretty much finished and, you know, and everything. And
it's in the
so,
can. It's in the can.
Yeah. So we have, along with Melissa Hughes Ernest, who plays Dorinda Mansfield, her daughter and partner in crime is played by Melissa Zian, who is also another actress that I worked with a lot at Sixth Street Theater. And she is also a French teacher, and so she really helps us out with accents and with with dialogue or with
words.
Pronunciation, yes. And so it's great to have her involved. We also have Amy Hansen, who is one of the writers of the show. She plays the big bad, Rosemary Berkshire, who her family, the town is named after them, Berkshire Bay, and she is the president of Berkshire Bay Brand, which is this huge conglomerate company, sort of like an evil SCJ, I guess. You know?
Oh, so like PPG or like...
Yes. Yes. And so, yeah, so that was one of the things we pitched to her when we wanted to do the show. We said, we really want you to be in it. We want you to play, this was during Marvel's big heyday of all their movies, and we said, we want like a Thanos-style big bad. She's got to fight throughout everything. And so she gave us one, and she's amazing at that as well. So, and then also her best friends, Dorinda's best friends, Alice Breckenridge, played by the... one of my favorite people, Mona Goss-Lewis. I love her so much. Mona, and then also Tita Poxtellus plays the other best friends, two of them, Joy Wakefield and Gigi Montgomery. And then you, of course, you play...
God, everybody. Many.
You play characters that we are like, oh, they're one-off, and then we make them write you more, like the Sue the Cater waiter. Oh. You guys, anybody who's listening, find the episodes with Sue the Cater waiter. Joni steals the show amongst everybody. Every time she just mumbles something.
So on.
Yes.
So and there's a really good reason to segue into where are we listened to? Who listened to us? Are we big in Racine?
Well, not really. Initially, when our first season came out, I think most of the listeners were coming from Wisconsin and Illinois, and I think that was probably because it was sort of like the, you know, like, oh, tell your friends, tell your family, you know, to listen to us here and, you know, and this and that. But we started doing social media things and started putting out trailers and little bits and pieces, and next thing we knew, we just started taking off, and we were like, what the heck is going on? You know, like, people, it went from like a couple hundred to suddenly we were getting thousands and thousands and thousands, and it was baffling. Do you have the full number? Can you pull up everything? But yeah, it was it kept getting bigger and bigger, and then we started reaching out to other podcasts and saying, do you want to do a feed swap with us, where we would give them our first episode and they would give us their first episode and we would upload them for everyone to listen to, and then we could get cross, you know, marketing done.
Well, that's the perfect way to use social media.
And it worked beautifully. We went from having like 10,000 to having 100,000 downloads.
And we get recommendations on Reddit. People are always, you know, saying, mm-hmm. if you're looking for a funny show, go check out Mansfield Mysteries. It's fun to go on there and just search for us and find people that are just saying how much they like our show and mm-hmm. telling other people, like, you might like this show.
Yeah, even an online magazine, The Stylist UK, we were listed as one of the top 8 cozy mystery podcasts, and we were only one of 2 fiction podcasts. The other 6 were all talking about cozy mysteries.
And when that came out, we actually shot up to number 1.
Wait, there's more.
Yes.
We actually shot up to number 1 in the UK once they posted that out on the chart,
mm-hmm.
so that was exciting.
You know,
and we have a lot of support by other podcasters in the UK, so that's wonderful.
I'm smiling ear to ear, and it's a radio, so I get to describe that. But, I mean, I didn't know some of that. And that's really, really exciting to hear, because it does seem to be the case that you're always bigger outside of your own, you know, backyard than. And now we have this opportunity with many local listeners to add to the Mansfield family. Nick, I do want to ask you a question, because we talk a lot about production and you with the IT background, but for the average person, share how long it takes to produce an episode and what you have to do to it, how it's recorded. And we've got, you know, I've got a few minutes left, but it's truly an art for a post-production producer to put a lot of puzzle pieces together. Nick, talk to us about that.
Well, I go through initially all the takes. I do all the takes, and then after that, once I pick the takes, I give it to Paul, and he does majority of the post-production magic, so I'll let him talk.
Right on.
I use a DAW, and that stands for Digital Audio Workspace, and it's called Reaper. And basically what I do is I bring in the audio files that we've recorded. I have to sit there and listen and find the right spot so I know, okay, this is the take Nick wants. I copy that out, put it into different tracks. I can have anywhere from 4 tracks to 30 tracks in a scene, Thanks. Depending on how much is going on. Then there's a lot of filters and stuff that I have to put on to everybody's dialogue. I have to kind of bump up their volume, equalize it. I have to take out the electronic hiss sound that can kind of come in from the microphones. So I've got, I add reverb depending on what room they're in, so things can sound more open, or it can sound like they're outside, or, you know, we can make them sound wherever we want. And then I always like to have some kind of ambiance in there. You know, sometimes people, you know, will just be talking, but it's nice to have, like, some kind of room sound, you know, whether it's just an air conditioner blowing or, you know, somebody typing on a computer. You know, you want to make sure you have those things to really sell, like, the location and, like, what they're doing.
Right.
So then you have to also make sure that you match all those sound effects to have the same effect as all the vocals that you have in there. So you have to put the same reverb on there, make sure they're not too loud, not too quiet. Sometimes we have to listen on different headphones, because I have very nice big headphones that I work on all this stuff with. But then you put in, like, the little earbuds that most people are going to actually listen to the show with, and some of it might not balance out quite the same. So you have to kind of go back and forth and do the best you can do, but make sure that the person with the smallest speakers that they're listening to, they're still going to have an enjoyable experience. You have to kind of balance all of that stuff out. And then you do that for a 30-minute show, and then you do it 2 more times to finish off that story, because each story is 3 episodes. So you're looking at 90 minutes about for each story.
And we do 3.
And then we do 3 stories.
Yeah. I think the old, and this was a while ago, you're basically a digital Foley artist. I know that in the beginning we did start using some live things, but it really has become very digital. But it's theater of the mind, and you have to put in all of that. But the last formula I remember for production was, for every minute of a finished production is a minimum of 1 hour of post-production. So
yeah,
I think it's more, you know, a 30-minute show is a 30-hour post-production show. So, yeah, well, you know, I always learn a few things when you go through that, Paul, because I often forget the many layers that are part of that. So we have about 5 minutes left, and I want to play the last clip from the show. But and I should also say I'm so lucky to be part of the Mansfield family, which, you know, hasn't really been able to be said for a long time. But it's been so fun. It feels less pressure cooker than a stage show where you're off book and you're memorizing. And yes, we are reading, but there is a great deal of rehearsing, and it is challenging. We do rehearse via Zoom, That's tricky. Timing is challenging sometimes for an actor, responding, stacked lines, but wow, I'm just super grateful to have been a part of it, and I know that once people hear this and start listening, they're gonna be big fans. So let's listen to that last clip. Either one of you can give us a little intro.
Well, it is featuring the lovely Joan Rory, as well as our good friend and another amazing actor who still doesn't do enough on theater, called, his name is Christopher Wilde, and this is where Dorinda finds herself at the center of a locked room murder mystery during a snowstorm at a private karaoke party. So she has to discreetly question the guests, including Nicholas O'Toole III and his secretive wife, Margaret Berkshire O'Toole, who seem to have caught wind of her snooping skills. So,
You know, it is a very glamorous setting. These are high-end, you know, it's a high-end setting. Let's take a listen to Gimme Gimme Murder.
Well, I see someone's thrown a blanket over the deceased.
I couldn't bear to look at her anymore.
Breathe, darling, breathe.
Nicholas, Margaret, may I speak to you over on the cushions, I suppose?
What about...
Yes, Dorinda, what about? Well, I'm just trying to dot a few I's and cross a few T's.
I've heard tell of your amateur detective skills, but I'd prefer to wait for the authorities.
Same.
Mansfield Mysteries.
You're taking a listen to it today. You're going to be a big fan. So where's the quickest access point to start listening to the Mansfield Mysteries?
MansfieldMysteriesPod.com. You can find everything there you need.
All right. Gosh, what's old, I guess everything old is new again, because I've been a part of producing old-time radio. We're kind of going back into that with this and a lot more access. It's really exciting that younger people are listening to things like this, and it's very exciting to know that a production of this quality and caliber, and when you listen to it, it's incredibly produced. It's produced right here in our own hometown. So I do want to give a final shout-out to my guests today of Nick Hoyt and Paul Reese. They did mention local writers Amy Hansen and Michael Johnson. The productions wouldn't be where they are without the caliber of writing, but it takes a village, you know, and a lot of people. Nick and Paul, thank you so much for being part of the show today. And one last shot at a crowdfunding source. I think you mentioned it before. One more time.
Ko-fi.com/Mansfield Mysteries, all one word.
All right. So thank you again. I'm looking forward to the next production or the next series coming out. You said it's in the can, but are we close to a release date? Do we have any?
We don't have a date yet. We're thinking in the fall. I would like to really quickly say that we joined a network called Fable and Folly Network, which helps us get social media networking as well as advertisers. So they are really helping us along. So we are working with them to release it now.
Well, you heard it here first. It'll be out in the fall.
Fall.
Thank you both, and thank you, listeners, today. You are listening to Community Matters. Your host today is myself, Joan Rory, and today we were talking to Nick Hoyt and Paul Reese from Quarantine Productions about their podcast series, Mansfield Mysteries. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click Shows. This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine.